to sing aloud. Nobody like you, nobody like you. And with our voices aloud, we've come to sing it out. Nobody like you.
Hallelujah.
Nobody like you.
And with our voices aloud,
we've come to sing it out.
Nobody like you.
Nobody like you. And
with our voices aloud, we've come to sing it out.
Nobody like you, nobody like you.
And with our voices aloud,
we've come to sing it out.
Nobody like you,
nobody like you. Holy,
holy is the Lord of
to you, our King.
Worthy, worthy, worthy,
worthy is the Lord of glory.
We lift our voice
to you, sing
to you,
our King.
Holy,
holy
is the Lord of glory.
We lift our voice
and sing to you. Our King,
worthy
is the Lord of glory.
We lift our voice and sing to you, our King.
And with our voices around,
we've come to sing it out. Nobody like you.
Nobody like you.
Nobody like you.
I can't compare with you. No.
And with our voices aloud,
oh,
we come to sing it out.
Look what I am.
Nobody like
you. Yahweh of Judah.
Nobody like you.
No.
And with our voices aloud, we come to sing it out. Nobody like
nobody,
you.
Nobody,
nobody like
nobody,
you. And with our voices aloud, we come to sing it out. Nobody like you. Nobody like you.
Oh, Father, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. We beginning to know what it means. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In thy light we see light. And we drink of the rivers of your pleasure. Thank you for again visiting us with your tangible presence. The day of your unveiling to humanity is at hand. That even unregenerate men, like a few did under the Old Testament, will see your glory. And for once and for all, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We honor. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. And in particular, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven upon my heart and upon my lips, that I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Then I further ask and beseech you that you will put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, all over the world. That Your word will flow freely from you, via me, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver this word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, Amen. Today I have a landmark prophetic message. I've entitled it The Bride of Christ. Over the years, I have never specifically taught about the Bride of Christ, even though I have mentioned it many times in many of our prophetic teachings, because many of these symbolisms in the scripture are actually equivalent. So when you talk about the Bride of Christ, the Temple of Solomon, the Zion Church, you're saying the same thing. The reason why God uses different symbolisms is to bring out different details about a particular truth. So one symbolism will have some detail, another symbolism will have another set of details, another symbolism will have another set of details. And watch this. It is when you have revelation of all the different symbolisms of a particular truth, you have complete knowledge in that area. Complete knowledge does not mean you're arrogant, that you know everything. No, it just means that your knowledge in that particular instance or situation is complete in principle. Of course, the revelation in terms of detail and all of that continues to increase. The Bible says the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And so today, I want to talk to us about the Bride of Christ. Now, the Bride of Christ is the perfect church. It is the church in this third day. The third day there is just a prophetic symbolism for the 21st century. It's the third millennium from the birth of Christ. We're already in it. We came into it, 1995, you know, because I'm very aware of when we entered the third day. In my own personal experience, I came into certain, experiences in the third day, you know, and revelations. In fact, that when we came into the third day, oh, there's one here, thank you. When we came into the third day, there were certain things I personally experienced. And we had a very unusual meeting in 1995, for those of you who were born then and who could remember. Papa Ralph, remember, there was the glory of God came to this. It was during one of our conventions. Papa Ralph was lying. He couldn't get up. I still remember. He said, "Oh, Jay, can you get up?" Papa Ralph, you know, he was stuck on the floor like, you know, Velcro, you know, under the thing lifted. You know, you could actually see the cloud, you know, and then it faded after some time. And that was 995. You know, it was a small indicator that the glory of God is coming to the church, you know, because it was the third day. But the fullness is about to hit us. Hence this message. The Bride of Christ is the perfect church. Now, let me define what a perfect church is. It certainly doesn't mean that everybody in the church will be perfect at the same time. No, that's impractical. It's not true. What it means is have a perfect leadership and a fully submitted followership. Everybody scream the word fully submitted. You know, submitting is one of the things most Christians hate. People, they don't even like, you know, I remember somebody telling me that, you know, one of the reasons why I don't like your church, and it's always talking about submission, and they're just trying to control people. And I laughed, and I said, you don't understand. You know, I didn't write the Bible. I was not the one who brought this concept of submission. It's God who did. Amen? And when you understand submission, you'll understand that it's actually not a means of controlling you. It's a means of blessing you. That's why it's only submitted people, fully submitted people, that are going to be a part of the perfect church. And you're going to see why before I end the message. You're not fully submitted. You can't be a part of the perfect church. You have to be fully submitted. Watch this. You're fully submitted to God and the leadership. Because they'll be telling you what is in line with the word of God. It's not strange. Well, it's not some new doctrine. That's exactly what Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, follow as you have us for an example. And God allowed him to write it in scripture. If Paul was around today, most Christians would hate him. And say, oh, you know, he thinks he knows everything. Don't mind him. They just want to be controlling people, you know. Paul was not like that at all. Neither was the Lord Jesus. Jesus demanded full submission. One time he saw a crowd of people following him. You know, most people like crowds. Jesus didn't particularly like crowds. He healed them. He ministered to them, but didn't particularly like them because the Bible says he did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man. Jesus knew when you have a crowd and mixed multitude, many of them really are not sincere. So Jesus turns around, is in Luke chapter 14, you know, and says, if any man will follow me and does not hate his father and his mother and his brothers and sisters and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The crowd thinned out. Jesus demands complete and total submission. That's why he says, if you love anything above me, he said, you cannot. He didn't say you will not. He said, you cannot become my disciple. And that's the problem we have today. Many Christians, many of us we're submitted to a degree that is convenient for our flesh, but we're not fully submitted. So we don't follow God to that degree. And then hence this message, so that some people who are hearing, who are still sitting on the fence, will be able to become fully submitted, not to Olubi Johnson, but to the Word of God, you know. You check me out. If I say anything that is contrary to the word of God, you can say, no, 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 that's not right. And I will agree with you, you know, if it's in line with the word of God. And by the grace of God, I will not do that, you know. So it's a perfect leadership, as a leadership that has grown to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I say, how will you know? You will know by the manifestation. You know, there's a lot of funny stuff going on in the church right now. All kinds of people are claiming to be apostles. It's very common now. You'd be amazed how many you see all these little young men. Some of them just had a ministry maybe 20, 30 years ago. They call them just apostles. I just laugh my head off, you know, because I know they don't understand. I don't have a destructive criticism. I do not criticize and judge them harshly. I understand that they are just talking from what they know and from what somebody has told them. So their understanding is that they are apostles, you know, maybe because they did a few miracles and they've started 3 or 4 churches. So once you start a church, then you're an apostle, you know. You know, but really, full apostleship is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Some of the greatest men of God in the last century, you know, the 20th century, you know, people like John G. Lake, Old Smith Wigglesworth, you know, Kenneth Hagin, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, to name a few, really were apostles. They were sent to their generation to establish the church. That's what an apostle does. He's a sent one to establish the church in particular truths. Kenneth Hagin was sent to establish the church in faith. So was Smith Wigglesworth, you know, and John G. Lake, too. You know, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It was people like and E.W. Kenyon who, you know, opened those scriptures up to the church and started getting us established in those truths. So that's what a true apostle is, you know. But, you know, you bandy around the title, you know, it's immaturity, I understand. And I have no quarrel with them, you know. As they grow, they will they'll come out of it. Praise the Lord. You know, folks, how are you going to see when the perfect church hasn't come into manifestation? It's about to. When it will carry the same unction Jesus carried, the Spirit without measure. I was somewhere yesterday. It was actually at Pastor Rotti's Damilola's wedding. And there was a man, I don't know the guy, I can't remember his name. He was sitting behind me. So he now whispered to me, you know, he said, Pastor, what do you do if the anointing for healing comes upon you in a service like this? And you just feel that you need to minister to the sick. So I chuckled. And I said to him, I said, if it is there, people will just start getting healed. You don't have to do anything. It will just be there. I said, the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. He said, people will just start getting healed. You know, the Bible says virtue went. I quoted those scriptures to him. I said, you know, he wanted to do something. And he wanted me to either, you know, because he knew I had influence, maybe talk to Pastor Ronti or talk to Sunday Popola, my friend who was preaching. You know, he wanted me to, you know, say, this man has a word. And I wouldn't do that. I told him, I said, if it is there, I said, you don't need to do anything. Just sit where you are. The virtue will be coming out of you. And the people will get healed. Of course, nothing happened. You know, as far as I know anyway. You know, when the real thing comes, it will not be done in a corner. It will be so evident. You know, and so that's what we're waiting for. So that perfect leadership that carries the Spirit without measure, that begins to do the works Jesus did, the same way he did, the Bible says, virtue went out of him. Jesus didn't try to seek attention to himself. The power was there, and it manifested when people interacted with him in faith. They would touch his garment, you know, he would tell them, take up your bread and walk, and they're instant healing, instant. That's the difference between the Spirit with measure and the Spirit without measure. The Spirit without measure, Spirit with measure is usually gradual. But the Spirit with measure is instant. And then it is spectacular on a consistent basis. So when that leadership comes forth, there will be a followership. They would actually have been following them before it happens, you know, that will submit to them fully. Full submission means everything they say that you should do, you do that. With the right attitude, you know, the right attitude. I'm getting ahead of myself towards the end, but let me just say it because I'm talking about it now. You know, the Bible says that you should know those that labor among you. In 1 Thessalonians, I think it's in chapter 5, verse 13, and it says, esteem them highly. Everybody scream the word highly. I didn't write the Bible, folks. I'm not trying to control you. Like, you know, a lot of people misunderstand us, you know. That's what the Bible says. It didn't just esteem them. It says esteem them. Why? Because when you esteem, it's right there, you know. Esteem them. Yeah, I know the scripture. I think Pastor Wally, you know. Esteem them. Where are they? Where is it? It's verse 13. It's not the scripture. There's one below it. You know, I know the Bible quite well. Praise the Lord. You know. And that's it. That's the right scripture. Esteem them what? I didn't write the Bible. If you don't esteem them highly, you're not going to get their unction. That's why the perfect church is a perfect leadership that has come into the experience of the fullness of Christ, the measure of such other, and therefore have the anointing with Spirit without measure upon them, and then under them is a followership that is fully submitted by esteeming them highly, so that, watch this, I'm getting ahead of myself. This actually was the end of the message, but I'll say it now, then I'll repeat it after I've said all the other things I'm going to say. You know, it comes down because they are fully submitted. They can then partake of that anointing because their hearts are open. So a person who is not fully submitted cannot be a part of the glorious church, because his heart will not be open, so that anointing will bypass him. It will not come through him. Oh, glory to God. I didn't hear amen. She, the bride, of Christ is symbolically referred to also as Zion. Zion, again, is symbolic of the perfect church. I remember many years ago when I started preaching some of these things, somebody came up to me, you know, I had a lot of people criticize me back then. They probably still do, but they don't say it anymore to my face. You know, maybe over the years they've seen that at least God must be behind this boy, you know. But, you know, back then they came to me and said, you are trying to divide the church. Say all this, you know, say we're all one church. I said, I didn't write the Bible. The Bible doesn't say, yes, we are one church. But the Bible tells us that there are different kinds of people in the church. In a great house, there are many vessels. There is gold. That is Zion. That's the bride. I'm going to give you other scripture for it, you know, as we go on. You know? Then there is silver. That's the other people. Then there is the wood and earth. They are all in the church. So the bride of Christ is referred to as Zion. In our scripture, which tells us, gives us revelation of this, you find it in, let's first of all read Psalm 48. We all love that scripture, you know, beautiful for situation. You know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalm 48. Let me get ahead of myself. Psalm 48, and look at verse 2. This is talking about the bride of Christ. This is the church Jesus marries. Every Christian is in the body of Christ. But not every Christian is in the bride of Christ. That is not because God doesn't want them to be. No, it's not exclusive. It's because there are conditions for becoming a part of the bride of Christ. Hence, the scripture, I'm getting ahead of myself. The scriptures are just pouring into my heart. You know, 2 Timothy, which I just mentioned earlier on, you know, in a great house, this is the church is the house of God. There are many vessels. There are vessels of gold. There are vessels of silver. There are vessels of wood and earth. Some for glorious uses. Some for ordinary uses. That's a paraphrase of the King James. Then it says, it's conditional. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. So it's not God who determines who is in the bride, it's the people. It's the choices you make as a Christian that will determine if you're going to be a part of this bride of Christ or not. That's why we're preaching and teaching it prophetically, so that people, it will inspire you and say, okay, I want to be that, and then I will also fulfill the conditions. I will purge myself, so I'll be a holy vessel, meet for the master's use. Meet for those, you know, glorious, special uses. Beautiful for situation. I didn't hear you. Psalm 48, verse 2, everybody. Say, beautiful for situation. I didn't hear you. The joy of the whole earth. That's what Zion does. The manifestation of the glory of God is going to bring joy to the whole earth. Every tribe, tongue, and kindred. They're going to go and make disciples there. They're going to go there. They're going to set the captives free. The lame will walk. The blind will see. You know, the lepers will be cleansed. The dead will be raised. It's going to bring joy to the whole earth. The bride of Christ. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Is Mount Zion, she's called Mount Zion here, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So this is the bride of Christ. This is the church that Jesus marries. And is he not going to marry other people? Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to be there. They're going to be in heaven, but they're not going to be a part of the bride. That's why the Bible says you can suffer loss. That's what Paul says. I don't want to be disqualified. I keep my body under. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One of David Ingalls' songs, he said, you know, I'm pressing so that I'll be a part of that beautiful bride. We've been wrongly taught that once you're a Christian and we all go to heaven, we're all going to be the same. It's not true. We're not going to be the same in heaven. The scriptures are clear. It says one star will differ from another star in glory. So the bride of Christ is this group of Christians, as we go into some of the other parts of the world, you're going to see how clear it is, you know, that have a perfect leadership and a fully submitted followership. And she's symbolically referred to as Zion. She's also called this in Isaiah chapter 2. It's a beautiful, let me look at this beautiful situation. Just stay in Psalm 48 for a minute before we go to Isaiah. You know, I'm going to look at it in another translation. If you look at it in the Amplified, it says, fair and beautiful in elevation. The glory of God that will manifest through this church will be so wonderful that she will be exalted in the whole earth. And all the people in the earth will be looking up to Zion. You know, looking up in the sense of, you know, looking to them for as an example, as a source of help and blessing and deliverance. That's why it's called, you know, beautiful for situation. That's Old English. Here it says, you know, fair and beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, the city of David on the north side, and so on. If you look in the New International Version, it says beautiful in its loftiness. God's word says its beautiful peak is the joy of the whole earth. The Message Bible says breathtaking in its heights. You're talking about a church that is so glorious that people, the whole world is admiring her. That's what Jesus meant. Paul meant when he was writing in the book of Ephesians. He said that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. That's the bride. It is sad and extremely regrettable that it's not everybody's going to be a part of it, not because God doesn't want them to be a part of it, but because they won't make the commitment to be a part of it and a decision, you know, of the heart, to be a part of it and follow after. So they don't become a part of the bride of Christ. They're in the church, you know. They will go to heaven, you know, but they will not be. Let me get a step further, you know. Is the bride that's going to sit on the throne? Not every Christian. Did you notice that we're going to get to that scripture? I don't want to preempt the scripture. I'll come to it later, you know. But, you know, when kings, even in the natural, when the king sits, the queen sits next to him. Have you noticed? That's why it is the bride that sits. Jesus is the king. So all those who are in the bride, they sit on the throne with him. That's why it is one of the promises of the overcomer that he will sit in. But it's not for everybody. I'm going to repeat what I said before. It's for everybody. But it's not everybody who overcomes the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eye, the pride of life, that now get that reward. It's not a gift. That's why I'm preaching and teaching. And I haven't taught it in detail over the years, so I have to teach it now, because I want you to be greatly encouraged, greatly determined, greatly inspired to become a part of the bride of Christ. It's not automatic because you're a Christian. It's not automatic because you came to Scripture Pasture. It's not automatic because you're my friend. It's not automatic because you helped me carry my Bible. Okay. Isaiah chapter 2. This same bride of Christ is being described. We've seen different pictures and symbolism. I've shown you from Psalm 48, you know. I've quoted some other scriptures, you know, from Timothy and other places. I've quoted from Ephesians. It's the same thing. It's the same truth being pictured in different perspectives. So you can get the full understanding of what she's like. Isaiah chapter 2, and we're going to just look at verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 2, yes. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody's screaming, the last days. The bride of Christ doesn't come forth until the last days. That is manifest. down through the ages, there have been Christians who have qualified to be in the bride of Christ. But because it was not the third day, they could not manifest it, but their heart was there. And relative to the revelation they had at that time, they did the very best that was available in that time. That's why you have great saints. You know, if you go through church history, you will hear all kinds of stories about different saints. You know, there's St. Francis and all these, some of these, they're great saints. And people, you know, when they were around, you know, particularly you see, the church has 3 days. 3 days means three millennia. This one is the third millennia. This is the third one. The first day church, I was sharing this with some of the brethren yesterday, you know, her assignment was to get the revelation of the New Testament and to get the full canon of scripture. The second day church, her assignment was to take the basics of Christianity, the new birth especially, you know, Passover and a little bit of Pentecost, and take it to all the continents of the world. That's why you had the missionary movement in the 18th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th centuries, you know, of the church. And you had the missionaries going out, especially through England. That's why God can never forget England. Forget it, man. God will, just like Israel, you know, there are a lot of people in England who don't believe God. They don't go to church and all that. But there's a remnant there. And because of their fathers. And what when God sees John Wesley, give John Wesley a super clap offering. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? You know, they say, God, you can't let England go down. England will never go down. That's why God will always save the Queen. Can you imagine a nation who makes its national anthem, God save the Queen? That's what they say as their national anthem. God save our great. They sing it every day. And Queen Elizabeth was a wonderful woman. Let's give the Queen a super clap offering. Lovely woman. You know, she prays and all of that. You know, she knows the Lord. You know, and you know, that's what God did for her. They kept saying it for 60 years. So you know what? God saved the Queen. Give the Lord a clap offering. God saved the Queen. Can you imagine? They say, God saved the Queen. God saved the Queen. God save the Queen. And because of the Queen, God save England and Britain. And don't let me get there. You know, well, let me just let you know. You know, God is very particular. God is a covenant-keeping God. People don't understand that. And he's faithful to nations and people, not because of the people, because of their fathers. What I've said is also true of America. God can never forget America. Never. America gave us E.W. Kenyon. Give the Lord, give E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. America gave us Kenneth Hagin. Where will we be today? So no atom bomb is going to destroy America. In spite of all the sinners and all the homosexuals and all the LGBTQ and all that, forget all of that. God is because of the fathers. As I speak this afternoon, there is a remnant in America that is on their knees groaning and praying and travailing. The same thing with Israel. God will never forget Israel because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a covenant-keeping God. He doesn't forget. Individuals will be punished for their sins, but the nation as a whole will be preserved. And God will never give up on Nigeria. Oh! The nation from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that the rivers divide, from whence Zion in the third day arises. Because of that prophetic destiny, God has made up his mind about Nigeria. There are a lot of bad people, 419, Yahoo boys, all kinds of terrible people in Nigeria, terrible politicians, you know, corruption and all of that. Yes, they will be punished individually, but God will preserve the nation. I just got a prophetic word. That is why the coming election is going to be successful. It's going to be free and fair. It will hold. All this insecurity, Boko Haram, all this, they will not, you know, they will not allow it to happen. It's going to happen. Watch God move. Over the next few months, I got a word. Are you listening to me? I'm just going to, I will give you a little bit. I won't give you everything, just a little bit. Do you understand? I said this to some of the brethren yesterday. I will not explain all of it. When it begins to come to pass, I will start showing you. Look out for the new moon. Then from September, October, November, December, see what God will do. The Nigeria you see now is not going to be the Nigeria you're going to see in 2023. If you can receive it, receive it. If you cannot receive it, say, oh me, God help my unbelief. Great things are in front of us. God will never forget Nigeria. God will never forget Nigeria. Because there's some of us, not me alone, but many of us, some of us, you know, who committed to God. And over the years, God sent S.G. Elton here as far back as 1937 because he saw here a people. They hadn't yet known him. Like he told Paul at Corinth, he said, stay here, for I have much people in this city. As when they had not yet been born again. How are they his people? Because of their heart. Do you know there are a lot of good Nigerians? Lovely people. I gave you my story this morning, part of it. You know, I wasn't born again. I didn't know God. But the heart. And I look back now, I say, ah. And I'm not the only one. There are others like that. There are some that are not yet born again. They are apostles right now. Maybe in one hotel somewhere in Lagos, enjoying Chapman and swimming and all of that on a Sunday morning. Don't despise them. When they get born again, you will see the speed. Like Paul. Look at how Paul overtook all the other apostles. We're talking about the bride of Christ. And I'm traveling next week, so I must do something today. I don't want to leave it for another, you know, many weeks. How many people are still on my side? If you're with me, give me a wave offering. Then with the second hand, give the Lord a clap offering. If you're on my side. Oh, I got good news for you. Good news for you. It shall come to pass. So the second day church took the gospel all over the world. China, Africa, everywhere. Through England primarily and a little bit of it through America and Europe. You know. Then the third day church, which is us now, is the last day church. Our job now is the revelation that was received in the first day. And that was transported and brought to the whole church, to the whole world in the second day will now be fulfilled in the third day. So our job now is to fulfill the revelation that was given in the first day and brought to us in the second day. Understand it too. So it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord, of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and some nations shall flow into it. And many people shall say, come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, for he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of where shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the bride of Christ is also called the Zion Church. She's going to be the highest, at the highest level of spiritual power in the whole earth. Hills are symbolic of spiritual power and prowess, and mountains. Look at the language that is used here in the King James. He says, the mountain of the Lord's house. So the Lord's house has a mountain. Are you getting it? It's like having a three-story building. First floor, second floor, third floor. the ground floor will be equivalent to the outer court. That's the ordinary Christian who gets born again, goes to heaven, but he doesn't understand the deeper things of God. He only sees scripture in natural light. Then you got the second floor, you know, which corresponds to the holy place. These are people who see revelation to some degree through the candlestick. Then you got the third floor, which represents the most holy place, where the Shekinah light of the glory of God. They now begin to see God face to face. They're no longer seen through a glass darkly. That's Zion. That's the Zion church. That's why he uses language, the mountain of the Lord's house. He says it's going to be established above the top of the mountains. So there are other mountains, but then there's the top. The bride is at the top. A clap offering for the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! And there's many people. It should have been all people. But people have a choice. So he said many people. That sadly will not be all. It should be all. But he said many people. People will, you see, a lot of people are going to see this Zion, this bride of Christ elevated. Ah! People say, I want to be a part of that. Say, and all nations will flow into it. You're going to see what's going to happen. I've said this before, I'm going to keep repeating it. The hour is coming and now is, where you get here at 8 o'clock, you won't have a seat to sit. And it won't be people who live in Ibadan. Some people will be living in Lagos. Some people believe in Oshogbo. Some people believe in Oyo. They will get here by 7:30. The church will be full. And when you who live in Ibadan, in Bodija, say, you know, take it easy and come to church. By the time you get here, you won't have a seat. Except you're a pastor. Or a pastor's wife. Or in the choir. But any other person, you know, you stay outside. Because all nature, you see, the thing is, people are waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting. Once they see it, they're coming in. So, the bride of Christ is typified by Zion, you know, and in typology, Zion represents the perfect church, you know, the glorious church, the bride of Christ. Jerusalem represents the church that has revelation about it, but hasn't yet entered the experience, you know, and Israel just represents the general church. You know, it's still the same. It's still one church, but in different sections that is going to determine different levels of destiny. It's very important we understand this. And it's not automatic simply because you're born again or even filled with the Holy Spirit. There's certain things you need to start practicing and doing to guarantee. That's why we pray those prayers. Thank God for Paul again. You know, Paul gave us a prayer. Vouchsafe me worthy. Ah, what a prayer. Of the high calling to which you call me in Christ. So that I will be accounted worthy. I can't remember it offhand. You know, vouchsafe me worthy of the high calling which you call me in Christ. You know, the perfection, the fullness of Christ, you know, and fulfill in and through me all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of faith with power. As a prayer, you need to be praying every day so that you make sure that you are a part of the body of Christ, the bride. And not just for being born again. That the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified in me and I in him, according to and by your mercy, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit. We added all of that over the years, but it's all correct. You know, so you need to understand that it's not everybody who will be a bride of Christ. And one scripture is a beautiful scripture. It's in Jesus. Let me just quickly, because of time, I'm gonna rush through this thing. Psalm 50, verse 2 says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the Zion church, the bride of Christ. And then in Psalm 14, verse 7. Oh! That the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. He makes a distinction. Zion is the perfect church. And it is, watch this. Zion now acts as a conduit pipe, as a channel through which God can bring salvation and help and deliverance to the rest of the church, Israel. I said this sometimes over the years, and I'm going to repeat it now. because it bears repetition and it's contextually relevant. And it is this. Everybody in the church will be partakers of the benefit of the glory of God, but not everybody will be a participator. There will be spectators, they will benefit, they will be healed, they will be delivered, they will be blessed, but they will not carry it. Because they did not make the distinctions, they did not make the decisions, they did not make the priority to get that glory. That's why he said, he put it in another parable. He said, you know, in the end time, it would be like 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish virgins didn't go to hell. They didn't go to hell. They were virgins, for God's sake. But they didn't have oil in their vessel. So they could not enter in to the wedding, the bride. Am I talking to anybody here? They couldn't enter into the bride. They couldn't, you know, they were not a part of the bride, even though they were children of God. So it's very important that we understand these things. Another typology, I'm using different because I'm giving you what the Bible calls epignosis, complete knowledge, is the Temple of Solomon, which we did last week. So I'm not going to go into detail about it, but I'm going to just bring out one or two points from the Temple of Solomon that are very, very important. Observe that in the Temple of Solomon, that the stones were prepared before they brought to the temple. It's a type of the bride of Christ. The stones were already in the church. I'll give you another scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 51. He says, look to Abraham from where you were hewn. Every Christian has been hewn from Abraham, because we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Now, the decision you make as an individual will determine how you are shaped and whether you are carried to the bride, whether you're carried to the temple. Not every hewn stone goes to the temple. It's the one that is shaped. Yes. Now, as the bride, observe that when they bring them, there is no noise there. No hammer, because they have unity of knowledge. They just fit in. And that's how the temple is built. Now the Bible says all of us in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we're all living stones, built a holy priesthood, a holy house for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, you know. So the temple represents, you know, bride of Christ, the Temple of Solomon, you know. Now observe, the temple had 3 compartments. It had the outer court, it had the holy place, and it had the most holy place. The outer court will represent, you know, the Israel, the ordinary Christian. The holy place will represent the Christian has revelation. Now, thank God, the good news about the holy place is that it's the transition to the most holy place. So once you enter the holy place, if you keep pressing in, you get to the holy place. You see, this thing is not exclusive. It's not as if God has prepared, these people are special. No, anybody can do it. Anybody, as we're going to see before I close this message. Anybody. But you have to make certain decisions and then stick by those decisions and continue to walk with God to fulfill those decisions. So that's how you know. The other temples are not built like that. It's not every stone. The stone has to be prepared. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel of honor, prepared unto every good work. That stone has to be, you know, chiseled and cut to the right size so that it will fit its place in the temple. The bride of Christ. Woo! Glory to God. Okay, you know, let me leave that. So the bride of Christ is the mountain of the Lord's house. Now, this scripture I'm about to give you now is probably one of the most important scriptures about the bride of Christ in this teaching that I'm giving you. And you find it in Psalm 45. It typifies clearly the bride of Christ. Look at Psalm 45. Am I talking to anybody here? Psalm 45. Give me a wave offering, somebody. And then a clap offering. And look at verses 13 and 14. he's talking, you know, the psalmist is talking prophetically under unction, under inspiration, and begins to talk about the bride, you know, by prophetic unction. He said, the king's daughter is all glorious. Where? Within. Her clothing is of what? Wrought gold. This is the bride. And I'm going to show you in a minute. Then I'll come back to the wrought gold because that's very important. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The thread is gold. Glory be to God. Oh. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. Observe, there's a difference between the virgins that follow her and the bride. They're not the same. They're not the same. The bride's clothing is all gold. Then the virgins, they follow her. That's why, you know, you can say it this way. You know, the bride is the wise virgins. Then the other virgins, they're following her. So they're in the feast, but they're not on the throne. Because they're not the bride. Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. She shall be brought unto thee. Now let me talk about the clothing of wrought gold. We're talking about the bride of Christ. The clothing is a type of your physical body. The gold is a type of the divine nature. Now, what happens is that through the experience of prayer, intercession, obedience, you know, and all of that, the wrought gold, when you say wrought, it means gold that is beaten into something. You understand? So the gold is beaten into the physical body. The life of God being made manifest therein, that's what gives her her clothing. That's what qualifies her as the bride. This is the most explicit scripture. The companions, they are following her, but they don't have the gold. In the great house, there are many vessels. They are not gold. They are not gold. They are wood, earth, all kinds of things. They are virgins, though. They are Christians. They follow her. You know, we had a wedding here yesterday. Sister Remy's daughter. You know, the bride came in, you know. Then there were other people who were following her. But when we were going to do the prayer, and it's only the bride that was here. The other people followed. There was the best man. There was the chief's bridesmaid. There were the little children. There's the bridal train, you know. They all were at the wedding. But only the bride got married. That's how it's going to be. Only the bride got married. If you're not a bride, you're not getting married. It doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love you. It doesn't mean you're not going to be in heaven. It just means, you know, in that sense, what it just means is that, like I said at the beginning, is the bride that sits on the throne and reigns with him. And that's how it's going to be for eternity. See, I now understand what Paul saw. See, Paul had seen these things by revelation. Because a lot of this revelation, you find in Paul's writing. Glorious church, not having spot. So Paul had seen it. That's why he said, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means I be disqualified from that prize. He saw it. And keeping your body under and bringing subjection is that wrought gold. You are putting the life of God into your physical body. So it now, I said that last week when I was thinking about the Temple of Solomon. The inner sanctum was covered, everything was gold, even though it was wood. But they now beat the gold into the wood. So all you see on the outside is gold. You are human, but you are a partaker of the divine nature. When the divine nature and character is beaten through tribulation, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire one. That's how that gold is being beaten into you. At the end of the day, all they will see is gold. Give the Lord a clap offering. So stop complaining when you're in problem. Count it all joy when you fall in the knowing this, you're being prepared for the bride. I know it's tight. I know it's tough, but people don't. All Christians. Oh, Jesus. I in the body. But only those who purge themselves and who become vessels of gold, whose clothing, the physical body, are of wrought gold, have the divine nature. The Bible says the life of God be made manifest in the mortal, and you, in the mortal flesh. I know we know that scripture because we quote it here in this church often. But many times, you know, you need to go back and study it, you know, deeply. You will see what Paul says. He says, we which live, we're bearing about in the body the dying, that's why I said, I die daily, of the Lord Jesus, that the life of God might be made manifest. Observe, it has not been made manifest. It is the process of dying daily. It is the process of being delivered unto death that causes, ultimately, the life of God to be made manifest in the mortal flesh. It's a process. God is beating the divine nature, the Holy Spirit. He's wrought gold. He's beating it into the physical body. He's beating it into the mind. He's beating it into the will. He's beating it into the emotions. So that when he finishes with you, and he's a master craftsman, when he finishes with you, all people will see is gold. Yes, human wood. But so much gold has been put inside. The whole thing is gold. That's the bride. We're coming to the end, little by little. It is the spirit and the bride that say come. Not the spirit and the body. Revelation, everybody looking at me funny. It's in the Bible, trust me. Revelation chapter 22. Thank you, Sister MC. And the spirit and the bride. Why did he say the spirit and the body? He didn't even say spirit and the church. He said spirit and the bride. You know why? The spirit and the bride have one voice. The bride has so renewed her mind that she says the same thing God says. It is the spirit and the bride that says, come. Observe. The Bible says, a body hast thou prepared for me. But the scripture says that the bride hath made herself ready. See, the body, you know, always wants God to do everything for them. But the bride hath made herself ready. It's a personal decision, personal discipline under the Holy Spirit with the grace and the mercy of God, and then she makes herself ready. That's what qualifies her as the bride. Is it clear? And it is the bride that is hastening the coming of the Lord. So that's why it's the bride, spirit and the bride are saying, come. It's the rest of the church. Many of them are living in a fool's paradise. I don't say this in a disparaging kind of way. It just happens to be the truth. And I say to provoke you, if you're in that category, to provoke you to repentance, to provoke you to a higher level of operation. If many of them are living in a fool's paradise. If you check, you know, you find that most Christians, you know what they think? They think that things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Then one day, Jesus is just going to come and just take us, you know, So long as you're born again and you haven't backslidden, just going to just take all of us once, you know, and just save us from this terrible world. Then the tribulation will come. Then the Antichrist will arise and all of that. They're living in a fool's paradise. It's not going to happen like that. There are going to be three flights. I taught you in the book of Revelation during the shutdown. Now, you know, that's the reason why God gave us the allowed COVID. So those 2 years, we spent it going in depth. We taught so many things during that time. You know, God, nobody was going anywhere. Anyway, don't let me get off into that. You know, so you will find, that's why it says, watch and pray always that you may be accounted, everybody screaming, worthy. That to be a part of the bride. It's the those who watch and pray always that go first flight before the tribulation. The other guys who didn't do what they were supposed to have been doing, who are not watching and praying always, they were praying, but they were not watching and praying always. You know, they stay here and they go mid-flight, mid-tribulation with the two witnesses and Israel. Then there's still another flight at the end of the tribulation where he picks up his elect from the four corners of the earth. Now, why do you want to go with those, with the other flights? Why don't you go the first flight? But you know, going first class is always expensive. Even in the natural. The first class ticket is available. I've traveled first class a few times. I don't travel first class most of the time. It's too expensive. You know, I go business class most of the time. But occasionally, they bump me up to first class, you know. I don't pay for it, too. They bump me up. Because I'm a regular customer. So they sometimes say, you know. I say, of course, let's go. You know, you find that most of the, because I've flown first class a few times, you know, you find that the seats are empty. Usually it's about maybe about three or four of us. The first class is never full. Because very few people want to pay the price, but it's there. So it is in the spirit. Pay the price, so. You see, the purpose of this message is to inspire us, to provoke us. Bible said, provoke to love. Provoke you. Say, I'm going to be a part of that bride. I'm not going to, you know, just be an ordinary vessel of, you know, wood and earth. No, sir. I'm going. Then I'm going to pay the price. And it's worth it. It's worth every cobble, so to speak. Because everything you give up and you something, even in this life, you get a hundredfold. It's worth it. It can be tight a little bit initially, but it's worth it. It's worth the wahala, if you can use that expression. Okay. So, the bride is being prepared. It is the bride that will go with the first flight. The rest of the church will not go with the first flight. What I'm about to say, I said it when I taught the book of Revelation, but I'm going to repeat it now in this context. Again, it will make you afraid, which is good. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the fear of God, men depart from evil. Hear me! Jesus preached. I'm talking like Jesus now. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Bible says he said with a loud voice because he loved his people and he didn't want bad things to happen to them. Let me just take a little bit of a detour. You know, it was only those people who listened to Jesus that escaped the destruction of Jerusalem. Most of the other people were so presumptuous. God forbid. It's not our portion. God will never allow unbelievers and Gentiles to come and destroy this holy temple. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus had told his people. You know, Jesus prophesied it 40 years before it happened. Jesus prophesied it just before he was crucified. He said, the day is coming when they will compass you about, your enemies, because you did not know the day of your visitation. You know what, Pastor G? History is repeating himself. The church does not know that this is the time of his visitation. The apostolic and prophetic ministries that have been sent to the church to teach her the bride of Christ, to teach her perfection, to teach her the glory of God, have been mainly ignored. Just like in Jesus' time, most of the Jews ignored what Jesus taught. They didn't believe, mind him. Upstart from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Don't mind him. Has any of the Pharisees and the scribes believed on him? As if that is the standard for believing. And you know what happened? They got born again. You know, the day of Pentecost came. A lot of people, not everybody, but a significant number followed Jesus, followed the apostles, listened to them, you know, obeyed them. As the time of the destruction of Jerusalem approached, it was the Christians who were submitted to the apostles and who believed what they had said that immediately saw the Roman, it was Titus, he later became emperor. Titus, his armies now approached Jerusalem, then they surrounded it. Something interesting happened in history. Instead of Titus to attack Jerusalem immediately, he gets a word from Rome that they should give them a pause. So in case they are ready to repent of their rebellion and all of that. So they waited for about a year. But the soldiers were there. So the Christians got out and went left Jerusalem. The other presumptuous ones who would not listen. You understand? When the time lapse came, you know, was over, Titus now attacked in full force. The casualty rate was terrible. Practically, the temple was destroyed. Not one stone was left on the other. There was so much blood in Jerusalem that if you are riding a horse, the blood level came up to where your legs were if you are sitting on the horse. Because that's why Jesus wept. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have loved to put you like a hen. He said, but you would not. He said, behold, it was still 40 years down the road. We are preaching now. People are not listening. Some of the things we are saying are 20, because Jesus is coming soon. My understanding, and I have understanding, see, I don't know the day or the hour, but I certainly understand the years and the seasons. I don't even think it's up to 30 years. Maybe 20. Maybe about, let's just say 30. You know, I think by 2050, all this thing would have rounded up. But anyway, that's, you know, when the time comes, you'll find out whether what I said is true or not. But the point I want to make is this. If you don't go with the first flight, many Christians will die during the tribulation. Hunger, famine, war. They'll go to heaven, no? But isn't it better to have gone to heaven with the rapture rather than to die during the first half of the tribulation of hunger and famine and war and all of that? That's when nuclear war was going to come. Many Christians will die during the time. They'll go to heaven, but they will die during the time. Some will survive because some of them will now begin to remember what the virgin, the bride taught before she left. They'll start practicing those things. Then God will help them find a way of escape and all of that. And some of them will make the second flight. Then some people will learn from that lesson. Then they will too be, you know, start praying, do the thing they should have been doing all these years that they didn't do. They'll start doing it, and some of them will make the third flight. But you don't have to wait for that. Go with the first flight. I'm beginning to finish. I'm not finished, but beginning to. It is the bride of Christ that will manifest the glory of God, typified by the Temple of Solomon. In the Temple of Solomon, we saw it last week. You know, the glory of God came to the temple and the people could not stand to minister. You know, Isaiah 60 describes it. He says, gross darkness will cover the earth, but the Lord will rise upon it. His glory will be seen. He's the bride. And the Bible says, you know, kings will come to the brightness of our rising. He says, the forces, the wealth of the nations will come to the church because the church will become innovative. Should be a creator of wealth with the wisdom of God, the ability of the mind of Christ. So the wealth of the nations will come, should be the most powerful financial institution. And with that resources, she will now, you know, make disciples in all nations. She will deliver from the bondage of corruption the people on the earth. Let's look at Romans 8. We'll soon be done. Romans 8. And look at verse, I'm going to read from verse 19. We taught extensively on this in times past, but it bears mention now contextually. For the earnest expectation, I didn't hear you. Of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son. The whole creation is groaning now. They're waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for the bride. For the creature, I didn't hear you, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subject the same in hope. Because the creature shall also be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption into the what? Glorious liberty of the sons of God, of the children of God. The glory of God that is going to be made manifest is going to deliver, you know, the sick will be healed. The lepers will be cleansed. The dead will be raised. Isaiah 61 says it. Let's go there just for a minute. Jesus, help me. I could quote it, but I want us to read it. Isaiah 61. This is what is in front of us now. We're approaching the end of the Jewish year, and the new year is going to start. And the first day of the new year is trumpets, which is what Jesus did on this day. His voice was a trumpet in that temple in Nazareth. Isaiah 61. Am I talking to anybody? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Observe the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable, that's the jubilee year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, Jesus didn't quote that part in his time, but in our own time, we're going to quote it. Because we're going to see a simultaneous, as the glory is coming, we're all going to see judgment, vengeance. Firstly, in the church, for judgment will begin at the house of God, and then secondly, in the nation. These are the things that are immediately ahead of us right now. I'm going to close shortly. How? This takes us back to what I said at the beginning. By the unity of the Spirit and of knowledge. There are three unities in the body of Christ. The unity of faith, all of us have that automatically. You're born again. But the other two are not so, they're not automatic. Unity of the Spirit is when there is a free flow of the life of God inside the body. So that it can flow, life can flow from me to you, life can flow from you to me. Now that comes if I have the right attitude and you have the right attitude. Now that's why the Bible says, if you see your brother sin and say, ask life for him. How can I do that? I first of all have to remit his sin. I have to remit his sins. When I remove the sin by the blood of Jesus, I cannot say, I ask life for him. When that thing is flowing properly, then you have the unity of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 describes this. You know, it says, in the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. The joint is where two parts meet, two members meet. According to the effectual working, the measure of every part. Everybody scream every part. Then turn to your neighbor and say, you have a part. You know, the sad thing is, it's true, but people don't play their part. So when you don't play a part, God just bypasses you. It's like electronics. Those, because we studied electricity, you know, but everybody knows this. If you have electricity flowing through a vessel, or, you know, it's going to take the path where it will conduct it. The paths where they don't conduct it, it just bypasses them. So it is with the life of God. That's why we're going to get to the second thing now. Attitude is so important. If you have a wrong attitude, God will just bypass you. But within the body, he will find a number, a critical mass, who will have the right attitude, who will be conducting, who will be vessels of gold, and it is through those ones he will manifest his glory. Now, the fact that you're in the church, is not automatic. If you don't have the right attitude and conditions and all that, he will just bypass you. It's just, you know, just like current coming through, you know, this thing, then there's a path here. But this path here, you know, the current will not go through this one. It'll just go through the one that has a path. So it is. Oh, this is reality. This is not religion. So you need unity of the spirit, where there's a right attitude, so that the life of God can flow maximally. It can flow freely. This is a beautiful picture. I must close with two scriptures. You know, the first one is in Psalm 133. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. I didn't see a lot of wave offerings, though. I hope you're not sleeping. You know, I know it's a tough message, but it needs to be. I want to, you know, there's something that God told me over the years. I have to put it into the air. It's my responsibility. Once it's in the air, you are responsible for it. But it's my responsibility to put it into the air. And because of electronics and technology now, not only do I put it in the air here, I put it in the air the whole world because I put it on YouTube. So any Christian who really wants, God will lead them to listen to it. That's the truth. Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Oh, Jesus, help me. Right. And look at the whole, it's just three verses. A song of degrees. How good. I didn't hear you. And how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Next verse. It is like, he's using a typology, like the precious ointment. That's Old English. If you look at it in the New King James, so it says it's like the precious anointing. You know, if you look at New King James, I think, you know, quickly change it to New King James for a minute. Let's see what it says. New King James. Okay, anyway, exactly. It's like the precious ointment that poured on the head, because in those days they made the anointing from the, you know, from the ointment poured upon the head. If you look at some of the other translations, you know, the anointing that ran down the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down. This is the Amplified. But if you look at it in some of the other ones, you know, you'll see, I think the New King James, or, you know, that word ointment, you know, precious oil. There it is. You know, it's the oil. That's what David was anointed with. That's how they anointed the kings and the prophets in the Old Testament. So he's talking about the anointing poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down to the collar of his robes. It paints a picture of the spirit without measure. It's on Jesus. Then Jesus gives it to the leadership who have inherited it by prayer and walking with God. Then the leadership from them, it now goes down to the body or those who are fully submitted. If you're not fully submitted, it will bypass you. But it will come right down to the body, to the whole body. It be available for everybody. But it's only those who open up. That's why he says it is unity. Next verse. He uses Mount Hermon. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mount. Again, you see this word Zion. Zion. For there the Lord hath commanded the blessing, even Zoe. Life forevermore. In other words, the life of God, the power of God that comes from Jesus, the head, to the leadership, it now flows down, and everyone that is under them, that is open, will receive of that ointment, will receive of that life. Then you will see them manifest. That's what happened in Jesus' ministry. In Jesus' ministry, he had 12. He chose them himself, including Judas. Initially, you know, the same anointing that was on Jesus, he put it on the 12. Then he now found another 70. He put it on them. And you see them healing the sick, raising, cleansing the lepers, and, you know, raising the dead. You see these people doing all of those things, you know. It's not like Judas lost it because of covetousness and others. But the others, you know, I was reading in my Bible, in the book of Acts, the Bible says, and by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders done among the people. And said, and the people reverence them, and no man does join themselves to them. Why? Because there was this thing that had come from the head. It had not gone to the body, you know. But for people who followed them, like Stephen, those who were following, that same anointing came on them. And you see them doing miracles and signs and wonders. Philip, you see them, but not everybody. You know, they chose 7 deacons. Only 2. That is recorded. That keyed into this thing. What I'm saying is this. We're closing now. What we're saying is this. You need to understand that the bride of Christ is being prepared as I speak. The glory of God, this is the reason, you know, the how, is coming from the head, the Lord Jesus, via the leadership. It will now come down. It's available to everybody. But the people it will come through are those who esteem their leadership highly. We looked at that scripture earlier on. So that the life of God can flow through them. Then they will be able to manifest the glory of God, like Peter, James, and John, what called the borrowed anointing, like the 70. And then later on in the book of Acts, you see the same thing happening. You know, it's not everybody, but a good number, a significant number, was able to key into the thing, you know, and then they carried it as far as, you know, where's that place that where Paul was? Antioch and places like that. And fanned out in the entire Roman Empire, those people who carried it. And the Bible says, they that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Turn, stand to your feet. Oh, glory be to God. God is preparing, the bride is being prepared as I speak, but she's preparing herself. She's using the things God has given her for her decoration, like Esther. Esther took the things that the eunuch gave her. 6 months of oil of myrrh. 6 months of beautiful perfumes to prepare her to go in before the king. When she went before the king and the king married her, when the time came to deliver Israel, she was there to be able to make the request. And Israel was delivered. That's a type of us being at the right hand of God to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. The anointing will be there. The glory will be there. So this is the time. I'm going to end this in with a note of hope. Because when you hear people, it's kind of, it's too hard. Nobody can. God is not a bad God. Can God ask you to do something you cannot do? He said his commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I tell you where this thing begins. The heart. It's the heart. If you make a decision and it's honest and it's sincere and you say, God, teach me, show me. I want to know it. It's going to help you. And you will qualify. God is not trying to exclude people. He's looking for people. He's not trying to make it to just one set of special people, Pastor Lubia and all his friends. No. He's looking for it. The more, the merrier. Because he needs them to fan out to the ends of the earth. He needs, and beyond, outer space. That will be after the millennium. But for now, it's just this earth. He needs them. So he's looking for you. That's why he's making you hear this message. You do. So the first way it starts is honesty and humility. Sincerity. God, I want this. You know, there are Christians, I'm about to speak to some people prophetically, who don't want this. Yeah. It's too much. So long as I go to heaven. And you said I will go to heaven, so let me just stay there. And you know, God won't fight you because of that. Okay, that's what you want. But that's not what God wants. That's what you want. He's not going to force it on you, you know. But if you make up your mind and say, yes, God, I want this, and I will pay the price for it, discipline, whatever you ask me to do. And he's not asking us to do difficult things. He's not asking us to carry a calabash to the bush in the middle of the night and go and walk naked or kill your first son so you can get power. God is not like the devil. The things God is asking us to do are very simple compared to what the devil asks his people to do to get power. And the power we get, the power of the devil cannot stand near it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You will tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged and think, oh, the standard is high. But God will help you. That's why the Holy Spirit came. He's come to help you. All he needs from you is your honesty, your cooperation. A just man falls 7 times, rises again. You start, you don't do it very well. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, help me. Stand up again. After a while, you get used to it. After a while, yes. I'm going to close this on a nice note. The Life Fort results just came out. We shared it with you the other day. Those children did very well. So many of them had 8 A stars, 9 A stars, 7 A stars. I like a grade 6. The whole class had grade 1. Everybody. About 10 of them, because I was counting yesterday, had in our own time what we call aggregate 6. That's distinction. Then the remaining part of the class had grade 1 distinction. Then about 3 or 4 had ordinary grade 1. You know what I want? I want the whole of scripture pasture. I want all of you to have grade 1 distinction. It's not difficult. You can do it. Don't be afraid. You can do it. I want every single one of you to qualify for the Spirit without measure. The borrowed anointing, that's where you start from. You know, you will heal the sick. You will cleanse the leper. You will raise the dead. Each one of you individual will go to your village. You go to your home. You go to your family. And you say, is there any sick among you? You say with confidence. You lay hands on your grandmother. You will lay hands on your cousins and your brothers and your sisters and your friends and your neighbors, and you will say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. What is wrong with you? In Jesus' name, I say, be healed. The leprosy will leave instantly. They will say, what manner is this? Not Rhoda. Rhoda quickly jumped on it. Is this not Yemisi? Is this not Clement? Is this not Kule? Ah, where did they get this kind of power from? Mama, you know, the people are waiting, Pastor, call my name. I'm seeing already doing like this, call my name. It's not whether I call it here or not. That's not what's going to get it done. It's whether you discipline yourself. But seriously, you know, they'll say, is this not this person? That's how they did about Jesus. Jesus grew up with them. Then the guy comes back. They say, is not this the carpenter? Whose brothers and sisters are with us? From where did he get this power? He got it from God. You will take it to your village. You will take it to your families. Then the news will go around. They will say, come and show us your God. You say, follow me to church. Follow me to church. If you are in Umuahia and you can't come, you can see it on YouTube. It's on your phone. Listen next Sunday. This power I have, you too can get it. The news will spread. And people will come. Many people will say, let us go up. Who doesn't want a good thing? It's not difficult. But it requires sincerity, honesty, humility, and consistency. The problem with a lot of us is that we're not consistent. We start, then if I have a little bit of problem, I give up on it. Don't do that. That's why you need to pray those Pauline prayers every day. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, vouchsafe me worthy of this high calling. Every day. I've been praying those prayers every day for 40 years. I have not stopped. That's why I don't get tired. That's why I don't get discouraged. Because of the grace and the mercy of God. Let's talk to God. We are now a people prepared.
And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching
and praying for Jesus' return. Preparing our hearts like a rank and new man. And we now drink from the water of life.
Jesus' return.
Watching and praying
for Jesus. say,
we hear you say, you will come in soon, and the Spirit and the Bride take
down. Put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. And we are now a people prepared, like a bride. Every Christian can be in the bride. But to be in the bride, your clothing must be wrought gold. I didn't write the scripture. Olubi did not set that standard. The word of God did. But it's not a standard you cannot attain. I know if you've come to this church all these years, you already have all the materials. The blood, the word, the spirit, the prayers. All God wants from you is honesty, sincerity, and take this thing to its logical conclusion. Stop praying church. Stop playing religion. Stop trying to just impress men. Make yourself a vessel of honor. Purge yourself from these things. It's not dependent on Pastor Luby. It's not dependent on Mommy Sarah. It's not dependent on Pastor Wega. If you qualify, I cannot disqualify you. That's how tight it is. Oh yes. If you qualify, I cannot disqualify you. There was a guy who was not going around with Jesus and his disciples. He wasn't a part of the company. You know what? We don't even know his name. We'll see him when we get to heaven. He will come to you and say, I am that disciple. The Bible says he cast out devils. And they tried to stop him. But Jesus understood the spiritual mechanics. Jesus said, leave him alone. For if he's not against us, he's for us. There is no man that can perform and could have had dishonor in his heart. In other words, if he had a wrong attitude, that anointing would not have flowed through him. Unknown, there were people who didn't come to scripture pasture, who we don't even know. Some of them will be in Katsina. Some of them will be in Gombe. Some of them will be in Benin. With people we don't know. And they will carry it. It's not church. It's not Olubi. It's not. It has nothing to do. It's God. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Ah, Heavenly Father. I have heard your word today. Father, I have heard your word. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for teaching me, making it clear to me what the body of Christ is. Why I need to be not just in the body, but in the bride. And how to do it. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, not to miss the day of your visitation. I know you're talking now, and you're preparing us for the glory that is coming and the corresponding vengeance that is also coming and the perilous times in which we're living. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to daily perfect the love of God, to daily die to the flesh, to daily crucify the flesh by the Spirit, so that my clothing will be wrought gold, that I will be a partaker of the bride of Christ and the glory that will come, so that I can be a part of this company that will deliver creation from the bondage of corruption and bring glory to your name and blessing to humanity, setting the captives free, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, so that men can see that our God is alive. Have mercy on me and help me. Vouchsafe me worthy of this high calling, and fulfill in and through me all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of faith with power. So the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified in me by your power, and I in him by your goodness. According to and by your mercy, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we go, if you're here and you need healing, maybe you are not here during the Bible study, you're here now, or you're watching now, you didn't watch the Bible study. If you need healing, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. If you're at home, if you're here, just stretch your hands. We're going to release the healing power that is inside the Word of God. The Bible says He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Father, release the healing power in Your Word into their physical bodies now in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of fear, spirit of oppression, spirit of infirmity. We break your hold. We cast you out. We destroy your works, resist and bind you in Jesus' name. And we loose the angels of God to minister healing, to minister health, to minister soundness of mind, to minister peace of mind in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace. See, the Lord Jesus, when he started teaching these things, the Bible says he taught them the things concerning the kingdom. He would teach for hours. See, the thing is concentrated. See, this generation is used to fast food. Some people are sleeping. Go and listen to the message again. Thank God for technology. The audio version is going to be sent out. You can also see it on YouTube. Go and listen to it again. Underline. Take your pencil and your biro and your notebook. Draw three lines. Ask yourself, what is the bride of Christ? Answer it from your heart to find out whether you actually got it. Ask yourself, why do I want to be a part of the bride of Christ? Ask yourself, how can I become a bride of Christ? If you can answer those questions directly from your heart with scripture, then you got the message. If you haven't, listened to the message again. Listen to it until you digest it. You know, I love you so much, and you are my people to the glory of God. You know, I can't tell you too many things is in front of us. I said, watch the new moon. Something is about to come. And the months of the Feast of Tabernacles into the end of the year are going to be some of the most momentous months by the grace of God that the church has ever seen and Nigeria would ever have seen. People who are not ready are going to be in big trouble. They're going to panic. Some will backslide completely. A falling away. It's not the will of God, though, and I'm not happy about it. Neither will I gloat when it happens. By the grace and the mercy of God, I have developed and I'm still developing a David's heart. If Saul dies, I won't laugh. I will weep. Because some of them, I have ate with them. I have slept with them. When I say sleep, I'm in the same house. You know, we've had friends. We have been friends. I would give me no pleasure to see Saul die. But I know it will happen. Because the purpose of God has to be fulfilled. Brethren, stop playing games. Oh. Go and listen to this message again. Especially if you slept during the message. Or you slept part of it and then you go and listen to it again. Open your Bible. Take your notebook. Give yourself an uninterrupted time where there's nothing that is, you know, distracting you. It's worth every minute. Digest it so it becomes a part of you and let it be the motivation for your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, you are preparing yourself to be a part of the bride of Christ by the blood, the word, and the spirit, perfecting the love of God. And so you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.